Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, June 17th, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend, and happy late Father's Day to all the fathers out there, all the people that play a father role in anybody's life. I said this on Mother's Day as well. You know, I've talked about it plenty, but I lost my mom when I was younger, and my dad, from the time that I was a teenager till I was, a young adult, my dad really played both roles in my family, the mother and father figure in a lot of ways, did the best that he could. And I know there's a lot of people out there in that same boat. So whether you're a mother, a father, regardless of what you identify as, I think that yesterday, I just hope that y'all had, a great day and you were appreciated. People out there that are out there helping others and taking care of other people. And once again, happy Father's Day to all of you out there who are listening to this today. A big reason why I did not record the show yesterday is because I was spending Father's Day with my dad and my brother, so that was great to see them. And also, there was GCW last night, so by the time the GCW show was over, it was already late. So y'all are going to be getting a late Monday upload here during Raw. So hope y'all enjoy this, and once again, happy Father's Day to all the fathers and father figures out there in the world that are listening to this, and even the ones that aren't, obviously. I hope everyone out there had a great Father's Day. So that said, let's go through the topics and jump into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for GCW Lights Out, GCW Hit 'Em Up, and GCW I Can't Feel My Face. So three big sets of GCW results, so very GCW heavy episode today, which makes sense because, there was no GCW last weekend, which always feels a little bit naked kind of on the show, right? Like, we're so used to talking about GCW that it always feels a little bit off when GCW isn't, on the list of topics. So got three sets of GCW results from this past weekend for y'all. Also have spoilers for TNA, so I'll make sure to put the Impact spoilers in the description below. So right here on FightfulSelect.com, just look at the description, and you can skip around to the timestamps. I put those for all the spoilers. There will be some more spoilers for Ring of Honor at the end of the show, and I'll timestamp those as well. So we got Ring of Honor spoilers and TNA Impact spoilers. Got results for DPW, Glory Pro, NXT Level Up, and NWA Power. So, good mix of results and spoilers on today's show. And I'll mention this right off the top. WWE Clash at the Castle, I have a lot of thoughts on, but I will save those for the spotlight. So please tune in this Thursday and every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, on the main Fightful YouTube channel. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of wrestling, and we have interviews for y'all with wrestlers, with promoters, with other fans, YouTube creators, and stuff like that. So please check the show out if you haven't already. And if you already watch and listen, very much appreciate all of y'all. But the spotlight this Thursday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, youtube.com/Fightful. That is the place to be if you want to hear my thoughts on WWE Clash at the Castle. Got a lot of thoughts on the ending of that show. And I'll have even more thoughts after I watch Raw, because I'll be watching that right after I record this podcast here. So tune in. We appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on Thursday morning. So that all said, let's jump on into the first set of results. We're going to start off with GCW Lights Out. This show took place on Triller TV Plus. That's where you can watch all the GCW events as a part of their Triller TV Plus package. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you to sign up. You just get a lot of value for your money over there. And this show was from Golden, Colorado. Took place at the Quarry at Jefferson County, Colorado Fairgrounds. It's a long name for the building that they were in. And this was on the 6/14. So this was on Friday night. These are the results. We had Hunter Drake over Gino Rivera. The finish here was Hunter Drake posting on Gino's back and then popping up into a code red for the 1-2-3. A really impressive looking finishing move. I'm not really doing it justice by explaining it, but great to see Hunter Drake getting that W. We'll talk about him a little bit more in the next set of results, but y'all know that I'm a big fan of Hunter Drake. Good seeing more of him in Game Changer Wrestling on a regular basis. After that, we had Dark Sheik and Effie over Fuego del Sol and Sam Stackhouse. The finish here was a top rope super sack rider. It was a tongue twister there. A super sack rider from the top rope from Effie onto Sam. And then a top rope leg drop from Dark Sheik onto Sam. Dark Sheik then does a slice spread number two on Fuego on top of Sam Stackhouse, pins Sam for the 1-2-3. We'll talk a little bit more about Sam throughout this episode as well. But if all goes as planned, the plan is to interview Sam Stackhouse this week and air that on Thursday for y'all as the interview for the spotlight. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Sam Stackhouse. I've been watching him for years, very, very interested in a lot of things that has to do with Sam Stackhouse. Like, we'll get into it in the interview. So definitely, you know, watch the interview. But I'm interested. I got a lot of questions for Sam, and I've been very intrigued by his career thus far. So very, very much looking forward to that conversation. You know, assuming it happens, but I never like to get ahead of myself. I hate actually giving y'all a heads up of who we plan on interviewing ahead of time in case things fall through. But Sam seems pretty excited to be on the show, so hopefully we get him, and I'm looking forward to talking to him. After that, we had Danhausen over Broski Jimmy. The finish of this one was Jimmy grabs his internet title belt. He's a little Broski title belt he's carrying around that Cardona gave him. He runs after Danhausen and try to hit him in the head with it, and he misses and winds up hitting himself in the head with it. And then Danhausen hits him with a German suplex, puts the teeth in Jimmy Lloyd's mouth, and then does the running kick to the face. 1-2-3, Danhausen gets the win. After that, we had Joe Janela over JKM. Janela gets the win with a top rope double stomp for the three count. We will definitely talk more about Janela throughout the GCW results as well. We had an eight-person tag match where Brayden Toon, Bruce Waynes, Dorian Maddox, and Jeffrey John defeat Johnny Casanova, Dave Cole, Ocean Avery, and Manny Lemons. The finish of this one was Jeffrey John doing a top rope diving cutter, so jumps off the top rope, hits a cutter for the 1-2-3 to get his team the win. After that, we had Zilla Fatu over Cole Radrick. The finish here was Cole going for a springboard stunner off the bottom rope, and as he's flying backwards to hit it, Zilla catches him midair with a flying Samoan spike of his own. 1-2-3. Great finish. Y'all know Cole Radrick's my boy. Good to see him out there always. Hate to see him get, you know, done like this, but it was a good match. Made both guys look really good, in my opinion. And Zilla hits that running, flying spike really nice. Like, we'll talk a lot more about Zilla as well, because he's going to be all over these GCW results. But Cole Radrick, the first victim of Zilla Fatu for the weekend for GCW. Once again, win with a flying counter Samoan spike on, you know, when Cole's going for that springboard stunner. After that, we had Man Like Derice over Allie Catch. The finish here is Allie Catch pulls her pants down. She's gonna go for like a booty to the head, like a what do you call it? Kind of like the Oscar, you know, hip thrust, I guess technically. But Allie Catch known to do this maneuver. So Allie Catch pulls her pants down. She goes for the booty to the head, and Man Like Derice avoids it. Does a schoolboy roll up and then does a bridge on top of the legs of Allie for the extra leverage so she can't kick out for the 1-2-3. After that, we have the GCW World title on the line. Mance Warner defends and retains over Jordan Oliver. The finish here was Warner throwing the referee into Jordo, and when, like, he's basically trying not to hit the ref, Mance just punches Jordan in the face and then hits a running knee. Jordan spits in Mance's face, or spits at Mance, really, from the ground. And then Mance hits another running knee, follows up with an implant DDT, and pins him to retain the title. And then the main event of the show, we had a death match where Nick Gage defeated Orrin Vyte. The finish of this one was a headbutt followed up by a jumping pile driver onto a bunch of shattered glass in the ring for the 1-2-3. Nick effing Gage wins the main event of GCW Lights Out. Once again, it's available on Triller TV Plus. Speaking of Triller TV Plus, the next event we have is Game Changer Wrestling's Hit 'Em Up. This show took place out of the Ukrainian Culture Center, and this was in Los Angeles, California. They've done this building many times out there on the West Coast. And this show was from Saturday night on the 15th. Show starts off with Jordan Oliver over Broski Jimmy. The finish of this one was, I can't even believe I'm saying this. So if y'all even know who Daddy Longneck is, which unfortunately I actually knew who he was going into this show, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I'm going to keep this concise. there's something to getting people on your show with like levels of clout, right? To like gain interest, you know, bring people in. Maybe people who don't usually watch the show might check it out because so-and-so is involved. And the WWE, a great example of this would be someone like Logan Paul, right? Who actually turned out to be an incredible overall professional wrestler. He's great in the ring. He's great on the microphone. He's great at getting heat. He's young. He's athletic. He's over. He's got a massive following. His Prime brand, you know, is a partner with the WWE at this point. I can go on and on about how much Logan Paul fits like a glove in the WWE system. You can also talk about his controversies outside of this, and I totally understand why you wouldn't like him as a human being potentially, but it's unquestionable that he brings massive value into the WWE. And a lot of people that watch the WWE now, some of the newer fans are actually surprised that he was even involved, and then they like him and they keep watching it because of him. Logan Paul, very good, actually the best example really ever of a quote-unquote celebrity coming into the role of pro wrestling and doing what he's doing. Now, the exact opposite of something like that would be bringing in Long Neck. I'll let y'all do your own research on Long Neck and just who he is. I'm not discriminating or hating on this guy based on his looks. I'm not that type of person. I don't do that. I don't judge people based on their looks. I think that's a shallow thing to do. But go ahead and look into just this guy chasing clout on the internet for years and the things he's said and done. I would want nothing to do with this guy. Like, and I get GCW, like they've brought in Ricky before. You can look at, he's super, super controversial dude. But brings some value actually. And actually is funny. Like, his type of comedy might not be for you, but I think he's actually kind of funny. Long Neck brings, I mean, people weren't cheering for this guy. And I haven't even thought of Long Neck in so long. The last time I remember hearing anything about him, he was in a relationship with this girl, Jessie Taylor, who I only knew because of the Ice Poseidon streaming world, which is a whole other rabbit hole that I don't really recommend anybody go down. But we're talking like the fringe of the fringe of the fringe of the fringe of the fringe type of celebrity right now. Like this, anyway, the reason I say all this is because I have no idea why Long Neck was even involved in this. Like, there are plenty of people, and I follow the internet stuff way more than most people do. There are plenty of people, and I get it, they were in California, he's probably the only guy available, but like, I just think it's hilarious this guy was involved at all in a GCW event. Anyways, I've already talked about that way too long, and probably sent some people down some really dark places on the internet, so I apologize for that. If there's kids listening, don't search any of the stuff I just mentioned. That said, basically what happens is Long Neck comes into the ring to help out Jordan Oliver when it's Jordan Oliver versus Jimmy Lloyd. Long Neck comes in to help out Jordan Oliver as if, you know, Jordan Oliver needs the help of Long Neck. And then basically Jimmy Lloyd runs after Long Neck with a chair. Long Neck ducks, and Jimmy Lloyd hits himself in the head with the chair because it bounces off the top rope. Jordan follows up by hitting Sister Abigail, shell-shocked, whatever you want to call it, onto a chair and pins Broski Jimmy. After the match, he holds up Daddy Longneck's arm, like, you know, to celebrate, and, you know, I don't want to speak for Jordan Oliver. I just based on the expression, like, I'd be surprised if he knew who that was going into the show, and I have no idea why he's putting him over. Like, yeah, this, like, especially of all people, why is Jordan Oliver the one that's, like, putting over Long Neck? Like, Jordan Oliver's coming off of a GCW world title loss and should be building back up to being, like, one of the main guys on the show, which he basically is by beating Jimmy Lloyd, but, like, why is Long Neck involved in this? I've given this way too much attention. Next match we had was Megan Bain over Sandra Moon. The finish of this one was Bang hitting a tombstone piledriver for the three count. There's actually a report earlier today from FightfulSelect.com that Megan Bain is indeed a free agent. I've actually been talking about her quite a bit on this show lately about her free agency status, because I had been hearing for a minute that she was heading back to AEW. This isn't really a report. There's like, you know, there were plenty of reports that basically said the same thing, but it sounds like she's free to really work wherever at this point, but there's still a lot of interest in her going to AEW. So I'm, you know, she's obviously done some work with AEW in the past, but like I'd like to see her land full time somewhere. She's super talented, the Megasys. I feel like, you know, she's been booked super, super strong in GCW, and we'll talk about her again in a second with another big thing she helped out with and more results for GCW. But she's been one of the top GCW stars since appearing regular with the promotion recently. So yeah, I'm interested to see where she ultimately lands, because I think she's a big asset to either WWE or AEW. She'd probably be a bigger star faster in WWE, but you know, she'd have really great matches in AEW, and there's plenty of women for her to do that with there. So I don't really have a preference on, honestly, one way or the other, where she winds up. Even if she wound up in like Impact or TNA, TNA has one of the most stacked women's rosters in the world. And they also have that tie-in now with NXT, where, you know, there's a lot of possibilities for her with that, maybe. So looking forward to seeing what's in the future for Megan Bain. Once again, she gets the win over Sandra Moon with a tombstone. After that, we had Sydney Akeem, the former Reginald, the former Scripps from WWE, who we covered all the way back when he was on like 205 Live. You know, I believe he was on 205 Live before it rebranded to NXT Level Up. I'm almost positive we were covering him all the way back then, even. But Sydney Akeem defeats Jack Cartwheel. I love this match stylistically. Kind of like the cartwheels versus the back handsprings in this one. The finish was basically, I can't even do this justice, the way how fast this man did these. But Reggie, or Akeem, does a double back handspring right into a cutter. Like, but the double back handsprings were so fast. I don't know if I've seen someone do that so fast. And once again, stylistically, it was cool because you had Jack Cartwheel doing all his cartwheel stuff. You had Akeem doing the stuff that he's known for with his backflips and the back handsprings and all that. Like, just two super athletic guys that in another world would be like Olympic gymnasts if they decided to do that. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are just super impressive. Really good to see. And it's great to see Akeem outside the WWE system, thriving already like this. I think he's got a bright future on the outside. We had the next match, which was Viva Van over Manlike Darice. The finish here was a stink face, which Manlike Darice massively oversold, but it's all part of the story because Van pins him 1-2-3 after the match. MLD, Manlike Darice proposes to Viva Van, and she accepts, and he carries her out. After that, we had Zilla Fatu over Bobby Flacco and Hunter Drake. This was a triple threat match, which it wouldn't matter if it was a triple threat or a handicap match. This was all about Zilla Fatu, you know, going out there and destroying. I just mentioned a minute ago, I'm obviously a big Hunter Drake fan. I say the same about Bobby Flacco. I've been a longtime fan of his, especially with his work in action wrestling out of Noonan, or really out of Tyrone, Georgia, but all over the Southeast. But I've been watching, y'all know, if you've been listening to The Weeknd, or we've been talking about Bobby Flacco and Hunter Drake for years, Zilla Fatu comes in there, and he does his thing. They're massively pushing Zilla, who I've talked about plenty before. He is the actual son of Umaga. I call him New Maga. And it's just a matter of time before he's in the bloodline of WWE television. So, or in one of these, you know, in that bloodline Civil War, or, you know, I feel like if he isn't involved in that, it's only because he's, you know, newer than the others, and they might not have like enough spots for what they're trying to do. But that guy is for sure going to be in WWE, you know, and I feel like in probably the near future, like, he's getting massively pushed, and he's got the look, he's got the family lineage, he got a built-in storyline on television. You know, I feel like he's just going to tear through people until he's on television. Just my gut feeling, though. That said, the finish of this one was Zilla Fatu hitting a, it was like a springboard thumb onto Hunter Drake. Maybe Hunter was, I think Hunter was springboarded and Zilla thumbed him from midair, if I remember correctly. And then he grabbed Bobby Flacco, and throws him up in the air and hits him with a pop-up spike, stacks both guys on one another, gets the double pin, 1-2-3. After that, we had a six-way scramble where One Called Manders defeated Jordan Cruz, Braden Toon, Rob Shit, Mr. Danger, Sam Stackhouse. The finish of this one was Manders hitting a running lariat onto Rob Shit for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Los Macisos, the team of Miedo Extremo and Ciclope. They defeat the Stoner Brothers, the team of Rick Scott Stoner and Scott Rick Stoner. If you've never seen the Stoner Brothers, it's pretty much as what you would imagine in your head for the most part. You may not be able to know exactly what these two guys look like, but put two and two together. The Stoner Brothers, one's named Rick Scott Stoner, the other's named Scott Rick Stoner. One of them wears headgear. but anyways, the finish of this one was a Doomsday Device through a door bridge, a door that was set up on two chairs by Los Macisos for the three count. After that, we had Danhausen over Kylie Rae. Danhausen gets the win after Kylie locks in a crossface. Danhausen lifts her off of the ground right up into a go-to-sleep or a good nighthausen for the three count. After that, we had a six-person tag team match where Thrussy, the team of Alley Catch, Effie, and Dark Sheik, defeat Bodhi Young Prodigy, Alec Price, and Cole Radrick, the Garbage Daddies. To finish this one was a double team powerbomb super sack rider off the top, combination from Effie and Alley Catch, followed up by a Dark Sheik hitting a top rope leg drop onto Bodhi for the three count. And the main event of the show, we had the GCW world title on the line. Mance Warner and Joey Janela wrestle to a no contest. Mance Warner technically retains his title. Janela hits a double stomp. He's almost beaten Mance Warner multiple times. He's about to try to pin him and win the championship again. And Blake Christian comes out of nowhere, hits a curb stomp onto, you know, the back of the head of Joey Janela. And Blake Christian is still wearing his version of the original Game Changer Wrestling World Heavyweight Championship. So basically at the end of the show, Joe Janela is knocked out, Mance Warner's knocked out, and Blake Christian is in the middle of the ring holding Mance Warner's title and his title. So he's got two GCW championships in his hands. So Blake Christian's back, and he is still laying claim to being the GCW world champion. After that, we have the next set of GCW results. This is Game Changer Wrestling, I Can't Feel My Face. This is also available on Triller TV Plus. This is from the Nile Theater in Mesa, Arizona, and this took place last night at the time of this recording. So this was on Sunday night, June the 16th. The results are as follows. We had Billy Starks over Hunter Drake. The finish here was a top rope swanton by Billiam for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Manlike Dereese over Jack Cartwheel. Another great stylistic matchup. The finish here was a kip-up cutter followed up by Cool Runnings, which is a top rope 450 splash by DeReese for the three count. After that, we had an eight-man tag team match where Alec Price, Cole Radrick, Bodhi Young Prodigy, and Jordan Oliver defeats Braden Toon, Jordan Cruz, Rob Shit, and Sam Stackhouse. The finish of this one is, it's like the Garbage Daddy's been doing this move lately, so Cole Radrick does, he picks up Jordan Cruz on his shoulders like a doomsday device. Alec Price comes off the top rope with a top rope double stomp. So it's like a doomsday double stomp onto Rob Shit for the three count. After that, we had Zilla Fa 2 over One Called Manders. The finish here was a rock bottom followed up by a Samoan spike onto Manders for the three count. After the match, what was kind of confusing, Manders actually holds up the one, but, you know, it's because he's One Called Manders. But he also, at the same time, kind of acknowledges his tribal chief, because Zilla also does the one, because he, you know, is a part of the bloodline, so he holds the one up for the family. So both guys were holding the one up, and then they both hug each other. And then Zilla, like, shrugs Manders off of him. So it was kind of strange. After that, we had Megan Bain over Kylie Rae. And the finish of this one was a flying lariat followed up by a tombstone piledriver for the three count. After that, we had a six-person tag match where Thrussy, the team of Effie, Alley Catch, and Dark Sheik, defeat Los Macisos, Ciclope, and Mato Extremo, as well as Sandra Moon. Finish here was Sheik hitting, I want to say Sheik calls it the go to hell, or at least used to, but I've always called it the Grace Bomb, or the Juggernaut Driver now, I guess Grace calls it. So, y'all know the move. Penta does it as well. Well, actually, kind of a Swerve kind of does it too. There's a lot of people that have kind of been doing that move lately, but I always think of Jordan Grace first. After that, we had Fuego del Sol over Sam Stackhouse. This was supposed to be Fuego versus Nick Gage. Fuego, before the match, says that Gage couldn't make it, unfortunately, due to injury. Sam Stackhouse answers the call, who had wrestled earlier in the night in the 8-person tag match, but he was so over that they sent him back out there to wrestle again. Once again, looking forward to interviewing Sam Stackhouse this week if everything goes as planned for you guys over on the Spotlight on the main Fightful YouTube channel. Another quick plug there for that show. Fuego gets the win over Sam Stackhouse after hitting a running Canadian Destroyer onto Stackhouse, which obviously, if you know how huge Stackhouse is, it's super impressive to see that man basically do a backflip and land on his head like that. Just wild, the athleticism that takes. And of course, Fuego to pull the move off. Takes two to tango. This was good stuff. Fuego over Stackhouse. And the main event of the show, we had Joe Janela over Broski Jimmy. The finish here was a top rope double stomp by Janela for the 3 count. During the match, Mance Warner had gotten involved. Megan Bain came out to save Joe Janela. And the show basically ends with Janela and Bain in the ring together. And the two of them have tagged a little bit recently in GCW. They're in the ring. They hold the ring down as Broski Jimmy leaves and Mance Warner holds up the GCW title. Of course, Mance and Jimmy are aligned as both parts, you know, both members of Deathmatch Royalty. So, looks like they're setting up a Joe Janela and Megan Bain versus Jimmy Lloyd and Mance Warner match in the near future. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened on the next GCW show that we cover. So, once again, that was GCW, I Can't Feel My Face. It's also available on Triller TV Plus. All right, now moving on. I'm going to get to the TNA Impact spoilers here in just a minute. Before I get into that, just want to give some quick thoughts on the fact that at Against All Odds, we had Tatum Paxley. She challenged Jordan Grace, answered the open challenge for the TNA Knockouts Championship. Unsuccessfully challenged, but it was cool to see Tatum over on TNA, and also they're setting up more stuff between Ash by Elegance and Jordan Grace going forward as well, based on that match, and you know, based on Ash showing up, you know, on both shows, NXT and TNA as well. So pretty big news there. Also, pretty huge news that Jeff Hardy made his TNA return at Against All Odds. Don't know how long term the Hardys will be a part of TNA. I'd imagine, I mean, I have no idea, and this definitely isn't a report, this is just straight up me thinking out loud. I'd be shocked if the Hardys didn't wind up back in the WWE, at least for another short run, or like a part-time run where they just pop up every now and then, but for like a few years. I mean, I just can't imagine that. It's one of those things where no matter how many times they come and go, Jeff Hardy especially will always be massively over with the WWE crowd. And Matt's not too far behind him, you know what I mean? But as a tag team, they can do this stuff forever. It's actually pretty wild how little AEW got out of both of them, especially as a team. I know Matt was in the company, obviously, a lot longer before Jeff came and joined him. And then, of course, Jeff had his issues, like he always does. I mean, and that's a big part of it, too. I get that. Like, I mean, Jeff was unavailable for a lot of his TNA, or sorry, a lot of his AEW run. And his history is very well documented. So I understand, you know, not wanting to, you know, massively push Jeff Hardy too if you're AEW, but I feel like there's a lot more they could have gotten out of the Hardy boys when they had both of them there and they were both were still available. So that said, TNA Impact spoilers coming up right now. These are spoilers. So spoiler alert. This is from 6:15. If you don't want spoilers for TNA Impact, just skip along based on the timestamps in the description of the audio you're listening to here on Fightful Select. So just look in the description and move around if you want to remain spoiler-free. This is TNA Impact spoilers, and here they are. 3, 2, 1. First time I'm reading these out, reading them at all. And these are courtesy of TNA Asylum, reading them via Fightful.com. We had Bhupinder Gujjar over Eli Isom. Sinner and Saint over El Torero and Rafael Quintero. And Leon Slater over Khan. Leon Slater, by the way, is somebody that I know a lot of people want to see if they're going to do more like NXT crossover with TNA. Leon Slater is really high on a lot of people's lists, as he should be. The guy's still only like, you know, 20 years old or whatever, has his whole future ahead of him and only going to go up. I mean, I think he's got a bright future in TNA, but he's a guy who's, I think, going to be a massive star, you know, on AEW or WWE as well, and, you know, in the future. We had Giselle Shaw over Lainey Luck. Spitfire, the team of Jody Threat and Danny Luna, over The Hex, the team of Marty Bell and Allison Kay. We had a Chicago Street Fight, where Frankie Kazarian defeated Ace Steel. They set that up at Against All Odds as well. I'm interested to see how that goes down. After that, we had Ash by Elegance over Heather Reckless. Johnny Curtis over Ryan Nemeth. I'm assuming Johnny Curtis is Dirty Dango. And Dango cost the Nemeths their tag team match at Against All Odds. So I'd imagine that's why I'm reading Johnny Curtis as the name on the spoilers, because he's probably no longer doing the Dango thing, at least in TNA, which isn't a bad idea if that's the route they're going. Unless I'm thinking of someone totally different, but I mean, Johnny Curtis was definitely Dango's OVW name back in the day. And Josh Alexander over Eric Young. I bet that was really good. The two of them teamed up Against All Odds. I'm obviously a big fan of both of those guys. They need to figure out a way to get both of them more into like the main event singles, main event scene as singles guys. I know there's only so much room for people at the top, but those are two guys that should perennially be towards the top, in my opinion, for TNA. Yeah, speaking of towards the top, I think Masha Slamovich is like one of the best talents in the entire company. We had Masha Slamovich over Zaya Brookside. We had ABC, the team of Ace Austin and Chris Bay, over The Rascals, the team of Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel, as well as the Deaners, Cody Deaner and Jake Something. I bet that triple threat tag team match was fire. I'm a big fan of everyone involved there. We have Steve Macklin over Sami Callihan. I bet that was another banger. And I'm glad to see Macklin get the win over Callihan here. Nothing against Sami Callihan, but Macklin needed to get some big wins back. And whether you love him or hate him, Sami Callihan is somebody who is perennially towards the top, you know, as far as perception with TNA. TNA been pushing him forever, was their top guy for a long time as well. And Macklin needed this W, so good to see there. We had Kushida over Alan Angels, but that match was a banger. Nick Nemeth over Rich Swann, but that match was a banger. Mike Santana over Mustafa Ali by his qualification. Interested to see how that goes down, because that should be a banger, given Ali's, you know, obviously every time everyone's ever seen Ali, you can see the talent there. But Santana, especially since, you know, leaving AEW and all of his work, even when he was with AEW, I've talked about how I saw him live at shows like Battle Slam and Terminus. And I've recognized that he was a really great singles talent as well years ago. So I bet this was really good. And he's been killing it as a HOG heavyweight champion, Mike Santana. And then what looks like the last results here, we got Joe Hendry and Mike Santana over Mustafa Ali and Champion Singh. So obviously some sort, whatever happened to the disqualification before, you know, led to that tag team match to probably close out the tapings. So yeah, I'm actually really, really liking what I'm seeing here. I think there's a lot of bangers, a lot of banger potential. You never know because they're just spoilers. I'm just reading, you know, words off of a screen. So I don't know how these matches looked, but based on what I'm seeing here, a lot of really good stuff, a lot of really great talent, and I'm looking forward to, you know, more TNA going forward. I thought there was so much buzz this weekend. I was thinking last week, I thought that this was a pay-per-view coming up. We got another pay-per-view soon, so you'll be seeing me talking TNA on the Fightful main channel pretty soon for the next TNA pay-per-view. That pay-per-view, by the way, is that's Slammiversary next month. So I was a month off thinking that the pay-per-view was this past weekend. Once again, because of the hype and the crossover for NXT and everything, but I think that there's definitely going to be some crossover. I mean, there's people talking about maybe AJ Styles wrestling at Slammiversary. I could see it happening. I think that'd be absolutely incredible. I would love to see that. As an AJ Styles mark and as an OG TNA mark from the Nashville days and stuff, man, give me AJ Styles on TNA for sure. I'd love to see it. Moving on, got some results for DPW. Just some quick results here for DPW Live 6. This show is available on DPW On Demand, and the results are as follows. We had Violence is Forever, the team of Dominic Greene and Kevin Q over Diego Hill and Ichiban. You know, I've definitely had to get some VIF results in there. It's kind of weird seeing three GCW shows back to back to back this weekend alone and no Violence is Forever. As my favorite tag team in the world, it's a bummer, but they were doing their thing in DPW. They're all over the place, VIF with the W here. After that, we had the West Coast Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship on the line. Kevin Blackwood defends and retains over Andrew Everett. Good to see Blackwood defending the West Coast Pro Championship outside of West Coast Pro. I think that West Coast Pro is one of the best independent promotions in the world, as is DPW. So it's really cool seeing, you know, whether or not you call, I mean, basically it is a working relationship because they're allowing that championship to be defended in their company. But obviously we see a lot of independent companies working together, the same talents bounce from show to show to show to show. But good title defense here. And Andrew Everett's a guy who's always had a ton of talent. I've never been into the whole him acting like Andre the Giant thing, but he is very talented in the ring. And Blackwood, once again, with another title defense of that West Coast Pro Championship. After that, we had the DPW National Championship on the, or Eliminator match, I'm sorry, the National Championship Eliminator. Adam Priest defeats LeBron Cazone. Good to see any style Adam Priest getting a W here. I don't know if I mentioned, but this show took place out of Chicago, Illinois. It was on June 16th, but Adam Priest, any style, one of the best in-ring workers in the entire world. I've talked about him pretty much every week here on this show, but a guy whose in-ring work speaks for itself, and a guy who has gotten some looks in Ring of Honor. I think he'd be a great asset to any company. So yeah, massive shout out to Adam Priest. After that, we had the DPW World's Tag Team title on the line. Jake Something and Mike Bailey defend and retain their titles over Sinner and Saint, the team of Judas Icarus and Travis Williams. I love the tag team of Mike Bailey and Jake Something, as well as the tag team of Mike Bailey and Trent Seven. I think Speedball is actually best, I think he's actually best as a singles performer, like best served and used as a singles performer, but he's really great as a tag team guy. You can really compliment a lot of people. And I'm obviously a big fan of Jake Something. I always have been. I used to travel to see him from Nashville to St. Louis. It says after the match, I missed this. Ace Austin sets up a match between Chris Bay and Ace Austin and Jake Something and Speedball for the DPW tag team titles. After that, we had the DPW World Women's Championship on the line. Miyuki Takase defends and retains over Danny Luna. In the main event of the show, we have the DPW World Championship on the line. Calvin Tankman defends and retains over Alex Shelley. So a lot of really strong champions in DPW. A lot of great talent there. Alex Shelley, obviously, I mean, one of the top names, a true veteran of professional wrestling, and you know, someone who's really given so much to the indie scene. Calvin Tankman, somebody who, I said it 1,000 times, I've kind of shocked that MLW didn't do more with Tankman while he was a regular part of that brand. But, you know, he's always been great and been thriving outside of the major companies for a long time now. I feel like a company like AEW, he'd do great. I think he'd do great in NXT. He'd immediately be a big star, have an immediate impact in TNA wrestling, pun totally intended. So I think the future is still super bright for Calvin Tankman. It's actually surprising how long it's taking, in my opinion, for that to happen, because of his talent, his size, his look, his experience. Like, he checks all the boxes. He's a guy who you see him and you would think he's going to kick your ass just by looking at the dude. Then you see him move around. He's fast. He's agile. He's strong as hell. Like, he can pick you up over the top, over his head, throw you over the top rope, or he can, you know, flip on top of you. You know, like, dude's got it all. So shout out to Calvin Tankman, of course. And once again, that was a DPW Live 6. Check it out over on DPW On Demand. Moving on, you got results for Glory Pro Wrestling. This is Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend Episode 40. It's available completely for free on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. This episode was uploaded on June 16th, so this was on Sunday, yesterday, at the time of this recording. Once again, watch it completely for free over on the Glory Pro YouTube channel. This is Ascend Episode 40, and these are the results. Show started off with Maggie Lee over Chris Hendricks. Finish here was the referee and Maggie and Chris are all basically in the corner, like near the turnbuckle. And Maggie grabs the ref, towards her so that the ref can't see her do a backwards dick kick, a low blow onto Hendricks, followed up with a running kick in the corner, went up top and hit a top rope moonsault and pins Chris. So Maggie Lee over Chris Hendricks with a moonsault after a low blow. After that, they air a flashback match, which was a Crown of Glory championship, the heavyweight title of Glory Pro. This was Warhorse defeating Danhausen. God, I always forget the name of that submission. It's like the sleeper hold, like the $1 million choke sleeper hold with like the arm in. I hate myself that I can't think of the name off the top of my head, and I'm too lazy to look it up right now. And if Jake hears me say this, I apologize because I know he has specifically made a point to tell people what that move is called, and I totally spaced on it. And then the main event of the show, we had Ethan Page over Xavier Walker. The finish here was the headshot by Ethan Page, which is his step through springboard cutter, where he goes from the ring apron into the ring with a springboard and hits a cutter. After the match, they shake hands, and Ethan Page holds up Walker's arm. Walker has the ring to himself to close the show out. And of course, we all know now Ethan Page is, you know, signed to WWE as a part of NXT, and this was obviously taped before that happened, but still taped very recently. So cool to see Ethan Page as he kind of wraps up this part of his indie run, post AEW. But who knows, with the world that we're living in now with WWE allowing people to do stuff outside, maybe we'll keep seeing more of Ethan Page have some sort of indie presence, you know, whether it's Alpha One or other places that he's been a big part of. He's a long time part of Glory Pro, you know, so good to see. So once again, Glory Pro Wrestling Ascend episode 40. You can watch that episode as well as all of the episodes of Ascend completely for free over on their YouTube channel. Moving on, got results for NXT Level Up. These are the results for June 14th. I watch this on Hulu, so that's why I'm going to check it out over on Hulu. And they had the three matches and the interview segment, which is pretty par for the course for NXT Level Up each week. It's mainly what we always get. Sometimes it's like, you know, only two matches. Sometimes we don't get the interview, but this was a par for the course. Three matches and an interview. NXT Level Up right here. First match we had was Luca Cristofino and Channing Stacks Lorenzo, of course, of the D'Angelo family. They defeat Jasper Troy and Shiloh Hill. The finish here was Hill accidentally clotheslining his own partner Troy over the top rope. And this opens it up so that the D'Angelo family can hit a basically like a 3D code breaker for the 1-2-3. After that, we had an interview segment where Kendall Gray basically just talks about how she's evolving and adapting, and she's got a big test ahead of herself in the next match against Izzy Dame. In that match, Kendall Gray defeats Izzy Dame in an upset. This was her first win in NXT Level Up for Kendall Gray, so congratulations to Kendall on that. She's got a pretty bright future potentially in the WWE system. The finish here was a reversal of a suplex into a backslide for the three count. And then the main event of the show, we had Andre Chase over Lucian Price. Andre Chase, of course, representing his own Chase U. The finish here was Price going for a spear, and Chase gets out of the way. Price goes headfirst into the ring post, and then Chase goes up top, hits a top rope flying crossbody, and pins Price for the 1-2-3. So, as I always say, NXT Level Up, if you go into it with the right intentions, I think you'll enjoy the show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Three solid matches and a good, quick little interview segment. Once again, you check that out over on Hulu or wherever you watch NXT Level Up. I think it's on Peacock as well. And yeah, good stuff. Future of the WWE looks bright, and I think this is a good place to check out people as they're evolving on the NXT brand before they're on the next NXT brand, before they're on Raw or SmackDown. All right, moving on. I got results for NWA Power. This show aired on June 11th, and we have more Crockett Cup matches. In real time, the Crockett Cup has already happened. So I've known for weeks. It was in the middle of May that they actually taped all of this, so it's been hard doing these results without spoiling anything, and I'll continue to try to do so by just giving you some quick just updates on what's going on in the NWA. So this was once again NWA Power from 6/11. It's available on the CW. I've been watching it through the app. We got the Crockett Cup play-in match where Mike Orlando and the Cheese defeat the Spectaculars, the team of Brady Pierce and Slade. We had another, this was a Crockett Cup first round match. We had Judas and Maxie Impaler along with Father James Mitchell on the outside over the Fixers, the team of Jay Bradley and Wrecking Ball Ligursky. I like the result here. I like Judas and Max advancing because I like both of them, and I think they're a pretty good team. But I also think the Fixers are one of the better teams. Now, that's not saying a whole lot because like some of these teams aren't great. I'm just going to keep it real that are in this tournament. But I think two of the better teams are Max and Judas and the Fixers. And for the Fixers to go out in the first round, given the rest of the bracket and how long the Fixers have been a part of the company and their success they've had in the NWA, I think they've been done kind of dirty by going out in the first round. Once again, nothing against Max and Judas. I'm fine with them advancing. I just think that the Fixers kind of deserve better in the NWA. We had another first round Crockett Cup match to end the show. It was Blunt Force Trauma, the team of Carnage and Damage, along with Aaron Stevens. They defeat Mike Orlando and the Cheese, which is an obvious result that you would expect to see. Carnage and Damage, they're going to run through a team like the Cheese and Mike Orlando. So I guess, you know, cool for them that Orlando and Cheese got the win, to get into the tournament. They won the play-in, but then, you know, later in that same night, boom, they're out of the tournament. But yeah, no surprises here as far as the results. And once again, I'm trying not to spoil anything because I know where all these are headed. So we will just go ahead and move on. Once again, that was NWA Power. Actually the last thing I'll say about NWA real quick, I just happened to see this the other day on X, but, Kenzie Page, I believe, just had her like 3-year anniversary with the NWA. I quote tweeted this thing about her, so I really should know. I'm going to look it up right now so I don't misremember this. So let me pull this up real quick. I know this is riveting for y'all who are listening. All right, so here we go. Yeah, 3 years ago, so like 2 days ago, it was the 3-year anniversary of Kenzie Page making her NWA debut. She was only 19 years old when she debuted in the NWA. And, you know, I've seen her become the new South champion. I think she's one of the best wrestlers out there, you know, regardless of gender. Just great against men, women, people of all genders. Like, she's great. She's super talented, very charismatic. Was trained by Dr. Tom and Kane, if I remember correctly. So, has some really good, like, high-level training. And it's one of those things where, like, there's a lot of stuff that people can rip on when it comes to the NWA. I totally get it. That's definitely a conversation that can be had. But there is some really good talent in the company. And I think Kenzie Page is the most talented, like, best, most valuable asset that they have. And the reason I say this is because she debuted 3 years ago at 19, meaning she's only 22 now. And, I mean, she was the one who took down Camille for the NWA World Women Championship. She, I think, is the highlight of every show that she's a part of. And I think that at some point, the WWE or AEW is going to have a massive star on their hands with her. So I always take a chance when I can to put over Kenzie Page because I just think she's got all the talent in the world. And if you're not watching the NWA, because like, here's the thing, she wasn't on the show this week. She didn't wrestle this week. But any week that she pops up, I would highly recommend checking it out. And otherwise, you still got the Crockett Cup going on right now over the NWA. All right, moving on. Spoiler alert, this is the last set of results we're going to talk about. These are Ring of Honor TV taping spoilers for Honor Club. Go ahead and put the timestamps in there right now. Y'all might even be able to hear me typing, depending on how good the noise reduction is. But these are going to be the results for Ring of Honor. So spoiler alert, if you do not want spoilers, look at the timestamp below in the description. Or go ahead and just turn the show off now, because this is the last set of results and topics we're going to talk about. If you're turning it off, I appreciate y'all for listening. Please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com, and I will see y'all or y'all hear me again next week. These are the Ring of Honor Honor Club spoilers for upcoming episodes of Ring of Honor Television. These are courtesy of F4W Online, and they are from June 15th. We got Marina Shafir over Erica Lee. Lance Archer and The Righteous, the team of Dutch and Vincent, over Victor Benjamin, Gannon Jones, and Duke Davis. We have an ROH TV title 2 out of 3 falls match. Kyle Fletcher defends and retains over Lee Johnson 2-1. I bet that match was great. I'm really looking forward to watching that one. We had Taya Valkyrie over Trish Adora. I bet that was a banger as well. I've always talked about how much I love Trish Adora. She's one of my favorites in the world, and Taya has always been great. She's another one who, like, I feel like in this current era of WWE, she'd be thriving on WWE television. And she's a bit lost in the mix in AEW. I mean, mainly doing stuff on Ring of Honor and stuff like that, which I don't want to diminish Ring of Honor, but they just have such a massive roster and all these shows that they're filling out. And I feel like Taya and Trish really should be more on like national television than on Ring of Honor. But that's just me personally. And I feel the same way about the next person I'm going to talk about here, the ROH Women's TV Champion. There was a Proving Ground match where Billie Starks defeats Angelica Risk. And Helica is somebody that I've been seeing get better and better and better. I've been there live watching her matches in companies like Battle Slam and Championship District Wrestling. I actually called some matches from ringside for some of the shows that she was on here in Atlanta. So and she's actually close. I don't know. I don't want to get into people's personal lives. She either is or was close to somebody that I'm pretty good friends with, I guess you'd say, like in the wrestling business. But I don't keep along with their personal lives too closely when it comes to this kind of stuff. But Angelica is someone I've been pulling for, has a lot of talent. And Billie Starks, I think the world of. Y'all know that by now. If you listen to anything I've ever done a podcast on, I think Billie Starks is the future of pro wrestling. Regardless of gender, she's going to be like the face of pro wrestling. Whether it's in AEW, WWE, wherever she winds up in her future is super bright. I love that she is the Ring of Honor TV Women's Champion. I just wish that we saw more of her on AEW, but that's kind of the thing, is like, because of her age, and there is so much time, it's similar to Nick Wayne. It's like, they have all the time in the world to keep developing their talent, to keep getting more and more over, you know, and getting more presence on television. But I think Billie Stark's talent is already there to the point where, like, her and Athena really should be on national television every week on AEW Dynamite, on AEW Collision. But hey, if that's not going to be the case, I'm super stoked to see that Billie Starks is killing it as the ROH Women's TV Champion. And it's cool seeing her carry that title belt across independent promotions as well. She brings that title to GCW and, you know, other places that she performs at outside of Ring of Honor. So great stuff there. And yeah, looks like some good matches coming up on future episodes of ROH Honor Club Television as well. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Please follow me on X at @FightTalk_. Use code FightTalk at independentwrestling.tv. And please hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Y'all can watch the Spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Myself and Jeremy Lambert talk the world of pro wrestling. We talk WWE, AEW, indies, and other stuff. We even talked about Joey Chestnut and hot dog eating last week. We always have interviews for y'all as well. The interview we plan to air this week is with Sam Stackhouse, who I talked about a whole bunch on today's show. Looking forward to talking to him, and that should be airing on Thursday. If you missed last week's episode, we had Gemma Jules on the show, a girl who I know as Zoe Walker, who I've known before she even became a professional wrestler. So it was cool to catch up with her. And once again, that's all available on the main Fightful YouTube channel. Just search The Spotlight. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.